Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FPL Banger Show. My name is Siva. I'm joined by Sam. Game week 30 preview, Sam. And, I mean, I've forgotten what happened in game week 29. Must have been a really good week because I got a green arrow. So, you know, free hit chip used, success, green arrow. Must have been a good week for you as well.
I did not use my free hit chip. And it turned out it was the right decision because, you know, exactly what we talked about. You could say it's luck, maybe. I don't know. FPL is 80% luck. But you know what wasn't a good decision? Taking hits on a week that I knew was going to be bad. So in the end, I still had a poor week even without using the free hit. Hopefully, the usage of the free hit in a future week will cover up for the loss and yeah, have a net positive effect.
I feel the recurring theme of this season is the people who won this week were the ones who forgot the deadline. That's basically it. Like, if you did nothing to your team, you didn't think about Reguilón, you didn't bring in anybody, you probably got maybe 10 points if you're lucky. And that's good enough, mate. If you had Anthony Robinson, you had 12 alone from him. Like, I had Anthony Robinson, like, way deep on my bench. But it doesn't count, because it's free hit, right? I used a free hit chip to get Reguilón in. And within, what, 9 minutes, this dude who has... It's not the first time Reguilón has trolled us, by the way, right? Like, a few years ago, he told everyone, like, don't sell me in FPL, and then he was actually in it.
So. Yeah, I remember that. Well, minus three is really bad, you know. Yeah, it takes a special kind of talent to get minus three.
It's not just the minus three, right? Because in a game of 4 weeks, right, he ruined, single-handedly ruined one entire game for me. I had Tony, I had Wissa. I was ready to go all, you know, just smash Burnley, right? And that one thing, man. And I had Mads Roslev in my free hit team the whole week, you know, because I'm hipster, right? I watch the games. Like, you got a few managers who don't know who Mads Roslev is, and you know, we know. And like, but then okay, I went to Reguilón because template, right? You go with the template, and so yeah, just don't do what other people do, you know.
Yeah, it's really annoying because like many weeks back, I wanted Muniz for the free hit, for this blank, not free hit, but for this blank game week. And I chickened out on it. Did not work out well. I wanted Robinson in because I did notice that he's been giving quite good attacking returns. Pretty decent. But then I went for Emerson in the end, which did not work out. So it's a lot of 50-50 calls, I guess, when you're not on free hit. When you're on free hit, then you can't help it. You banked it all on Spurs assets and all of them blanked. So what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess going forward, it's one of those, maybe diversify a bit more. I definitely went all in on Spurs. I didn't bother giving Fulham a chance. Should have been a bit more open-minded. Especially Fulham's home record, right? Really decent.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did diversify because, like, you know, we did discuss this. We said, if you go on free hit, you have the chance to get, like, I don't know what you call it, hipster players, right? But none of the popular picks return, you know?
Well, Dato Fofana, right? We did talk about a lot, and he did score. I had Gibbs White, who got a return. But it's just one of those, maybe it's something for the future, right? You look at the game week, and maybe you sort of realize it's probably the ceilings are quite low, and you just ignore it, as you did. I think there's a lesson to be learned here. I haven't really figured out what it is, but there's something that
lesson is don't forget, but also don't take hits on a week you expect to be low scoring.
Yeah. But, yeah. Okay, so enough about that week. You know, let's not dwell too much. Although, you know, as bad as it was, right, ultimately the difference in scores between teams, mostly, what, max 20 points. Like, you know, you didn't lose much to the field.
That's true.
I guess the good thing for you now, Sam, now that you have free hits still intact, that must really help you because we've only got two big double game weeks left, right? We've got 34 and 37. And so this really makes your life a lot easier because you can just target one and then focus on the other one with your transfers.
I mean, you would think so, yeah. That would be the logical thing to do, Siva.
Of course, you'll find something weirder to do.
I don't know. Are we talking about cheap strategy now? Do you want to get into it?
We can briefly go into it. Obviously, both of us have burnt our wild cards, and so we're at a slight disadvantage to the field, but also, I think, an advantage because this means it'll force us to be a bit more sensible and a bit more, I guess, aggressive with our transfers, you know, in the immediate run-up. Some people will be a bit more relaxed. And also, I'm holding out hope that by game week 37, enough things are settled that the people who are saving bench boost for then will still get screwed over, basically, because it's a really tight schedule. It's midweek, weekend, as we get to the end of the season, and I expect rotation as we go further down.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of using the bench boost so late into the season, because I feel, yes, on paper it looks good, but by then, by 37, you may have teams with nothing to play for, in which they start rotating more, you know, giving other players. And then you have teams that are maybe very deep into their cup runs, and they need to rest key players and things like that. So I'm not that big a fan of saving the bench boost all the way. Anyway, I burned my bench boost, so irrelevant.
Well, I haven't, and I'm quite looking forward to Game Week 34 now, because it's fallen quite nicely for me, because I have a lot of Man United players, and United play Chef United that week. So that's coming together.
You could bench boost on 34, is it? Is that what you're saying?
I almost certainly will. I'm going to start using my transfers to work to that way. But the one catch about trying to bench boost 34, right, is that you... I think one of the issues is, if you're focusing all your transfers towards 34, you struggle with Chelsea players, right? Because Chelsea play Arsenal that week.
And Spurs players as well, because they blank.
Spurs blank 34. As well.
They blank in the double, but then they have a double the week, either after or 2 weeks after. I think it's not confirmed yet, right? So they blank 34, but they might double in 35 or 36.
Yeah, so Spurs and Chelsea could even have, there's a small chance of like a triple game week, but at the very least, they will have a double going forward. I think, so come back to 30. Well, I guess let's start talking about this week and how it informs your transfers going forward, right? So 34, as you mentioned, Spurs blank. So what are you doing for Spurs this week? If you don't have, like, do you have Son? I have Son.
But... I have Son, I have Mets. I have two Spurs players.
But for people who don't have Spurs players already, do you bother getting them in this week? I notice Richarlison has a knock, so he's a doubt. I don't know if that's good or bad for Son. They did just lose, 3-0 to Fulham? And
yeah. But it's just one of those weeks, right, I think, for them. You would expect business to go on as usual. I would say, so I think the play that a lot of people are making who still have their free hit is to free hit in 34, because that means they can continue to load up on Spurs assets, Chelsea. Both of them have great fixtures this week. Chelsea's at home against Burnley, Spurs at home against Luton. So then you could just keep playing them and on 34, you know, free hit a team without them and then have them for the next week in which they both double or, you know, the next week or the week after. So that's the play most people with free hit are making. Most people.
That's the logical play. I'm down with that. I guess the question is, are we once again having sort of like double game week vision, right? Because Chelsea have by and large been pretty rubbish this season.
But Cole Palmer, though, I think Chelsea rubbish, but Cole Palmer himself has been very consistently good. So I'm not opposed to bringing in Cole Palmer for a home game against Burnley. I think it's even a captainable fixture if you're brave enough.
Okay, we'll park there. We'll come to captaincy in a sec. But okay, so Cole Palmer, I think no one's going to argue. I think it's 19 goal contributions in his last 19 games. So that's amazing.
Yeah, sick.
Sick. And obviously... bench by Southgate over the international break, which is good. But Southgate needed to fully rest. Southgate needed a closer look at Jordan Henderson and Calvin Phillips.
And Maino.
And Maino, Maino, the one decent pick Southgate has. Cole Palmer aside, who do you invest in from Chelsea? Because I don't think any of the other attackers are nailed.
Nico Jack has started the last four games and returned in three of them, two goals in a row and one assist before that. So it looks like a good option. I know for those of you who had Nico Jack earlier in the season, there may be a bit of biasness. I never owned Nico Jackson, so I'm coming in with fresh eyes.
There's also another catch at Nicholas Jackson, right? I don't know if you know this, but he's on 9 yellow cards. Basically in the next 3 weeks, because it's the side's first 32 games of the season, if he picks up another yellow, he gets a 2-match suspension. And obviously Nicholas Jackson, not known to be somebody with a bad temper or to get silly yellow cards, famously, but I'd be a little worried about that.
Huh.
We're in prime Diego Costa territory here, obviously.
But, you know, I'm just looking at his yellow cards, right?
He's been better.
13 onwards, means from 13 all the way to 28, he's only had 2 yellow cards. But it's just that first half of the season, he was getting like almost a card every game. Man
had, I think, what, 5 in 7 or something?
Yeah, that's true. So it looks better, but at the same time, it could also because he hasn't really been starting as well during that period. So, you know, can't get yellow cards if you're not on the field.
Oh, wait, you'd be surprised, mate. I mean, you can. It just takes a bit of work.
Okay, I stand corrected. That Marlon Gusto, who is still cheap, he's what, 4.2 right now, I want to say.
Yeah, and Reece James is surprisingly injured. Surprising,
yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Never would have saw it coming. And he's been decent, you know, assists here and there. Now they're not really keeping clean sheets, but at 4.2.
They've conceded 2 goals in each of their last 4 games.
Yeah. So don't expect points from clean sheets, but attacking returns, 4.2. Yeah, why not?
Okay. So, Gusto, but how essential are these guys? I guess that's my real question here, right?
I think only Cole Palmer is essential.
Okay. Because Chilwell isn't even nailed anymore. I always default to Ben Chilwell, but I think those days are sort of... Yeah, Cucurella seems to have edged ahead. Di Sassi, do you really want a Chelsea centre-back? I don't know.
Yeah.
Mudryk.
Palmer, I think. Just Palmer.
Yeah.
I'm honestly happy to just go the rest of the season, despite any doubles, despite we just call Palmer from Chelsea, because he's their only good asset, in my opinion.
Yeah. And now that Sterling has, you know, gotten his customary penalty a season and missed it, I don't think he will come again. I've never seen somebody so interested in taking penalties who's so bad at them. Like, Sterling always, even at City, he always come put his head in, like, I want to take this one, and he always misses. Like, he's just so bad. Mudryk would be nice, but I don't think, especially if he scored international break, and I would be interested, but nailness, I think.
Yeah, and I think there are better assets to have. Like, I'd rather have... So, I mean, assuming you have Son and you have Palmer, if you're looking for a second one, I would rather go for Madison over any of the other Chelsea attackers.
Okay. Decent international break as well. Matt came off the bench, I think, and got an assist against Belgium, so...
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's Chelsea, right? So, you're not interested in a Chelsea keeper. I see a lot of people on wildcard, obviously. Wildcarders will be doing this. Getting Petrovic. Sanchez is still out.
Chelsea, I mean, you mentioned earlier they have conceded 2 goals in the past 4 games. So, clean sheets are not coming. Why would you get a keeper without any clean sheets, without a chance of an attacking return?
Yeah, I guess
doesn't really make that many saves either, I think.
No.
Yeah. So...
Guaranteed 4-pointer during the double game week, I guess.
Yeah.
Shall we move back to Spurs, right? Because that was what I was asking, right? For those people who don't have free hit in 34, who have already used free hit, like me, do you load up more on Spurs? Or you just accept, you know, or do you even need Spurs? Can you get away this week without any Spurs?
I think you can, but it's risky, right? What's Sun's ownership right now? Sun is the only worry, I would say, from Spurs.
Sam, making decisions based on ownership, I'm surprised, shocked.
I mean, risky. I mean, I'm just saying. Oh, so he's at 33%. I have Son, so it's not a worry for me. And I guess if you did not have any Spurs assets, he would be the only one. But it depends who are you replacing him with. Let's say if you're going without Son because you're bringing in Salah this week, I think that's something I can live with, I think.
Let's talk about Salah, right? He's had the international break off. So Egypt were nice enough to give him the 2 weeks off. He was playing before that, you know, scored against United in the cup defeat. Scored, I think, in the midweek against, I think it was Sparta Prague or somebody in Europa League. It looked good. I think Klopp left him. Yeah. And that's the game that Klopp just said, you know, you stay on, it doesn't matter because you can manage your own fitness. I trust you with that. So,
yeah.
Salah this week. I mean, I think we can sort of move towards the bigger questions here. First of all, do you bring him in this week, and do you captain him? Because I think one influences the other.
I'm gonna bring him in this week. That will be my move. I already earmarked it. And right, if you bring him in, I think you might as well captain him, because this might be his lowest ownership up until the end of the season, right? So if you want Salah as a differential, like, this might be your last week that you get him as a somewhat differential.
Yeah, I'm agreed with that. I think a lot of the template teams don't have the funds and flexibility to make the Salah move this week. Both of us do. I guess my only concern is, you mentioned Cole Palmer as a captaincy shout earlier on, right? Mm-hmm. And I've looked at like bookies odds and stuff, and Palmer's not as heavily favored as Salah is. I think that's just because long-term goal scoring records, Palmer scores a lot of worldies and outside the box shots and that kind of thing, and a lot of pens. But I don't know, on paper, does Brighton seem like an easy fixture to you?
I think for Liverpool, the way they've been attacking, Brighton has been really inconsistent as well. They have games where, you know, they're conceding buckets, and then suddenly out of nowhere, they'll just keep a clean sheet. No discernible pattern as well. It's not like you could say, oh, at home, they're more solid. I think it's been kind of random all over the place.
Their XGC has been improving quite a bit. They aren't getting thrashed so much in the league, but then they just did lose, like, what, 4-0 to Roma a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And Lewis Dunk had a pretty awful international break. I think he was at fault for almost, you know, all the goals that England conceded. Yeah, I mean, their recent weeks, 3-0 defeats to Fulham, 4-0 to Roma. But then in between that, you know, they've beaten Palace 4-1. They did lose to Luton 4-0 back at the end of Jan. Yeah, it's weird, man. It's really weird.
I'm happy to captain Salah against pretty much anyone outside of the top. Or even, honestly, even within the top six, like Salah returns against anyone, right?
So Salah kept for you over Sun, over Palmer, over Nico Jackson, you know?
Yeah, I mean, definitely over Nico Jackson. I think the only contenders will be Salah, Sun, and Palmer, right? These are the top three. We're going ahead of ourselves. We normally talk about captaincy at the end, but I think those will be the top three. If I bring Salah this week, I'm going to captain Salah.
Okay. Now, I think that's the key, because I think everybody's transfer this week is basically, should you bring in Salah? And then if you bring him in, you know, you're bringing him in because you're captaining him. Like, I don't think there is much more to this week. Even wildcarders will be thinking about this. I'm sure everybody on wildcard this week has to be tempted to captain Salah because they will all have him.
And Definitely.
Yeah.
I am worried about not owning Cole Palmer, though, because I only have one move to make. So I will not have Cole Palmer this week at home against Burnley. Scary.
I mean, people are going to wonder what kind of pod this is. Yes, I also do not have Cole Palmer. But, you know, just a reminder, I had Antoine Semenyo 2 weeks ago, okay? So, and I will have Antoine Semenyo.
Sometimes.
We do. Sometimes we get the calls that no one thinks about, okay? Okay, so fair enough. I think, okay, so we've covered captaincy and the big transfer. I guess forwards, right? We touched about Nicholas Jackson a bit briefly. What's your pick of three forwards going forward for the rest of the game?
While we're on Salah, right? I'm just gonna say right now that even though I have the free hit in 34, I probably will not free hit in 34 because I think I will probably triple captain Salah that week. I still have my triple captain, and looking at the fixtures, I think there are not many better fixtures that you can get than Salah. Yes, two away games, but against Everton, against Fulham. Yeah, they surprised us against Spurs, but Spurs and Liverpool are two different things, and Salah is a different player, different category of player altogether. So probably will triple captain, which means I can't free hit in 34.
That's pretty bold, because like Salah's double in 34 isn't even the best double in 34. Like, obviously the best double in 34. I mean, if you're looking for a midfielder who scores goals, you want a captain in 34. It's got to be Kai Havertz, right?
I mean, yeah, Havertz, Saka are options as well. But I think I'm just banking on Salah more than the fixture, more than anything else. It's Salah. How many times has he disappointed you in double game weeks throughout the years, right? very, very rare, I would say. He almost always have repaid anyone's faith in him. So, yeah, I probably would stick the TC on Salah.
Fair, fair. Let's help wildcarders out a bit with selections, I think. You know, we, even though we don't have it, but we'll need to prepare in the same way for the doubles as others. Let's talk forwards, right? Because I think forwards is probably the most open question here. Haaland, fair. Most people have Haaland. Haaland would be the safe pick. Watkins doesn't have any doubles, and his fixtures are quite mixed now, right? They play Wolves this week, but then it's City. 2 weeks after that, it's Arsenal. Then 2 weeks after that, it's Chelsea. 2 weeks after that, it's Liverpool. It's like hard game, good game, hard game, good game, but no doubles.
Coincidentally, all the home games are good, right? Like Wolves home, City away, Brentford home, Arsenal away, Bournemouth home, and then after that, it's Chelsea home again. But I think if you're a wild card, you would probably go without.
Surely you...
doubles, right?
Yeah, you'd be bold to go without the guy with the most points in the entire game, right?
I know. I took a hit to bring him in last week. So he's not in my team, at least.
But we should take your advice when you say that no one else needs to get him in. Okay.
If you're on wildcard, right? I'm not on wildcard, so... And I think, despite the tough fixtures, Villa have shown that they can be surprising. They can get surprising results against the top teams. If not win, at least score, you know? And if they're going to score, it's a very good chance that Watkins will be involved. So, you know, 3-1 loss, but one Watkins goal, I'll still take it.
Okay. So, holders keep, people who don't own, probably not essential, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And I would keep right until 34, I would say. I would sell him for the double, for someone who doubles. Darwin, maybe, if he's playing then. Because some injury news, and also, he's also on 8 yellow cards or something like that, I think. So again, the yellow card thing. But if by the double, it all clear, because it resets in 33, right? Am I right?
Yeah, once the team has played 32 games, yeah.
Yeah, so by then, you will know whether it's safe to get in Darwin. And I would. I'll probably make that move as well for the double game week. Watkins to Darwin.
No fear that Gakpo could start one of the two?
I think Darwin... Yes, there is a fear. His minutes are... not 100%. He's not 100% nailed, right? He could be benched. But he's the kind of player who I think can come on for 20 minutes at the end and still, you know, 20, 30 minutes and still get some kind of return. Agent of chaos and all that.
Okay. Fair enough. What other Liverpool picks are you looking at then? Since we're on Liverpool, right? We talked about Salah. I see Conor Bradley is very popular on wildcard teams.
And Trent's coming back, right?
32. I think gaming 32 is what they're looking for, Trent.
So yeah, it's tough. I have Bradley. I've been very happy with him. But I would say though, the eye test looks better than the points.
He did score again in midweek.
He did. That's credit to him. But yeah, if he's nailed, what's he now? He got a 4.3 right now?
Yeah, he's cheap. I mean, cheap as chips.
Still cheap. Yeah, still cheap. Other than that, even Robbo is not exactly nailed. Seems to be struggling a bit with his injury coming on off.
Flagged.
So every week, he's flagged every single week. Yeah. So you don't know if he'll start or not. Van Dijk will be the only other defender who's really nailed, I would say.
Yeah, but...
But expensive.
Expensive, boring, eh?
Attackers, Diaz, I think. But again, if Gakpo is coming back, Jota is coming back, then it's a real minefield. Right? They have so many players who can play all those positions. Who knows who will start which game?
I guess the issue with Liverpool is you have to kind of make a decision. I mean, especially a wildcard, but even for us, you can't really wait until much later than next week because 31, they play Sheffield United home. So whatever it is, you need to commit to an attacker. And I think a second attacker, like you say, Salah this week, and then you probably want a second guy by 31 because otherwise you won't have anything ahead of the curve. I think I'd be okay with Diaz in 31. I think Diaz would look really good.
Yeah. I would say out of Salah, next to Salah, he does seem to be the Liverpool attacker that is the most nailed.
Least likely to get injured again, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. But as we move on, you know, as the season progresses, we don't know if that would change, if he'll start being rested here and there. It's a long season and he has played a lot compared to the other attackers.
I noticed somebody you're not mentioning, Alexis McAllister,
who
has started to actually return a bit. I mean, he's not, obviously, he won't be taking pens once Salah is back, right? Darwin missed that pen. I think McAllister took the next one. He won't be taking pens once Salah is back. But maybe a midfield option here? Maybe McAllister, maybe Szoboszlai?
Honestly, a good shout, I would say, Siva. He has returned 4 weeks in a row. Goal, assist, two assists, and then another goal. So that's his last four returns. He's nailed, that's for sure, I think. And 5.8, pretty cheap. The only thing is, I think, aside from the pens.
Yeah, you know, the pens is big.
Goal, right? So no more pens. Goals as well, not his main... source of attacking returns, right? I would rather get one of the pure attackers, I guess, if you can call them that.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think that's I think the issue is midfielders. We've got so many good midfielders, right? You've got Saka, you've got Son, you've got Salah, you've got Palmer. You don't really have a spot to spare for one of these punts. Focusing back on forwards, because that's how we started this, right? So you mentioned Watkins, Darwin, anybody else? Rodrigo Muniz, right? This week, Sheffield United. No,
yeah,
never.
Right. But no doubles. No. Bournemouth attackers, actually, you know, they do double and they have a good run of fixture coming up.
Right.
There's Solanke and there's a certain someone who, Siva, you might want to shout out your boy.
I call this, right? Everybody now talking about Semenyo. I said this 2 weeks ago, like you will want a 4.5 million forward who you can rely upon. He is exactly that. You can bench him. You don't feel too bad. You can start him. I'm starting him this week. Home to Everton. And now their double looks pretty decent. Villa, Wolves away. I mean, I think that's fine. Wolves look a bit ropey.
And the fixtures from then until now as well. So Everton at home this week, Palace at home next week, then Luton away. Then United at home, which, you know, United concede the most number of shots in the entire league or some stupid thing like that. Do you know that stat, Siva?
I did not know that. Not.
Yeah, I think it's the most or the second most shots considered in the entire league. So, yeah, good fixtures up until then. Solanke, of course, will be the so-called number one pick. But Semenyo, 4.5, you want bench fodder who will double, especially if you're going to bench boost in that week or whatever you want to do. Semenyo.
Okay, easy. Is that it with forwards? Muniz, Semenyo, that's about it, right? Muniz, I guess if you are happy to take the fact that you don't have doubles, I guess, and you're able to accommodate that. Because Fulham have no doubles the whole... But decent fixtures, right? Sheffield away, Forest away, West Ham home? West Ham away, Newcastle home. But Jimenez is back, so...
Yeah. Yeah. I guess for Wolves, if Matheus Cunha is back, he could be an option.
He's back in training.
News is that he might be back. So he was so good before he got injured. So if they do double in 34, he could be a real option coming in. I don't really see anyone else.
But Wolves double in 34 really puts me off. No offense. I mean, it's Arsenal and Bournemouth. Right, so Bournemouth's fine, but no, I think we're at the stage where we can sort of accept like a game against Arsenal is the double. That's like playing City, right? No offense to non-Arsenal supporters. But that feels like it's not really a double-double kind of thing. It's a home game, which is nice, but I wouldn't jump on Cunha just for that. And three of their next four are away anyway.
Yeah. That's true. Although before he was injured, I was playing Cunha every week and he was returning like steady returns all the time, 5 points, 6 points. Even the Wolves were scoring against anyone at the time. Not necessarily winning big games, but still scoring, and Cunha was really involved as well. So I mean, it could be an option for people who want to go left field a bit. I don't think many people are looking at Wolves' assets for the double.
One thing a lot of people are doing, and we talked about chips earlier, was that they are free hitting in 34 or not, but they're bench boosting in 37. And so for the wildcarders this week, I see Isak in a lot of teams. And I think planning any chip based around the fitness of Alexander Isak is a bold...
Yeah.
It's a bold strategy.
Let's see if I think it's funny because Newcastle do look that they have good fixtures for the next few weeks. I think they have two home games in a row, right? That's part of the reason why I kept Anthony Gordon in my team up until news was that he was injured. So I took him out and then turns out he wasn't injured. He even scored so in their midweek game. So yeah, but decent fixtures, right? So I think that's what they're looking at mostly. But you're right. You're banking on Isak to maintain his fitness for a good, how many game weeks is that? 7 weeks, which is... also, your chance with... it's not really favorable based on his track record, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, apart from the fact that they've generally not been as good this season anyway, right? And you speak to Gordon. Gordon's had to cover for Isak so many times going up front. So I think Gordon is a pick I'd be satisfied with. I have no confidence in Alexander Isak lasting this long.
Yeah.
But okay pick to have, I guess. Since I think Wilson's out.
Mostly fixtures, you know. West Ham home, Everton home, Fulham away. Spurs home, Palace away, Sheffield home, Burnley away, Brighton, Brentford. And the double would be United. So if it comes in 37, Brighton, United. Good fixtures, I think. Avoid all of the... I mean, aside from Spurs and maybe United. Like, that's the only two big teams that you're going to face in this entire run.
Surely United, though, have... I mean, a worse double. We're talking about 37 now, but a much better run up to it, right? Because United double at home against Arsenal and Newcastle, fine. Not... I suppose, comparable to Newcastle's double. But before that, United play, this week they play Brentford. Next week is Chelsea, Liverpool, Bournemouth, Sheffield, Burnley, Palace. Like, that's a really good run. Surely, on wildcard, you need to have Rasmus Højlund instead of Alex Isak, no?
It's tough, I guess. Yeah, maybe. United do play Liverpool, Chelsea here and there as well.
Yeah, but United score. They can't defend, but they do score. We're 2 weeks removed from United beating Liverpool 4-3.
I am a very skeptical United fan.
I honestly think that's what it is. Again, too many content creators are United fans and you've all lost faith. Like, looking at this on paper, there's no reason why Isak should be ahead of Højlund.
You think so? I think if they have the same fixtures, then I would still pick Isak over Højlund.
That's fair, because then you're talking about pens, and Isak has pens, Højlund doesn't. But Højlund's less likely to pick up an injury between now and then, and I would say the fixtures are much better. Place what, in a 3 week span, United play Bournemouth, Sheffield, and Burnley, and Palace. Like, that's leading up to 37. How can you not be on that?
I mean, can't you just get Garnacho instead? Garnacho and Isak? Or are you saying you want to put all your chips, eggs into the same basket?
I mean, you shouldn't. There's obviously, I mean, there's mathematics about how you shouldn't base this on chips and baskets. Also, more importantly, I mean, surely Gordon and Højlund is preferable to Garnacho and Isak.
Is it though? Is it?
Pretty sure it is. You obviously haven't given this as much thought as I have. But... Or maybe just maybe. You're bringing your anti-United bias in, you know?
Yeah, possible. It's possible. Although I am very impressed. If you want United players, those are the only two options. Although Bruno has quietly been doing pretty decent, but at his price, I think I'd much rather get other players.
Yeah, at Bruno's price, I'd get Garnacho any day. United defender, help me out.
No, come on. I just said we consider the second most shots out of everyone. No.
Yeah, but fixtures are getting better, mate. So.
Onana.
Not going back there. That's expensive.
Is it though? He's only 4.8, so it's not that expensive. and he's the highest scoring, highest scoring keeper in the game. It's crazy, right? Like, no one expected it. It's because he makes a lot of saves, because we concede the second worst number of shots in the entire league. So he's been getting a lot of saves, you know.
Okay, okay. So, yeah, maybe we were right. I mean, not we, well, people were right at the start of the season, maybe.
Other than that, I guess from a United fan point of view, the best defender to get would be Dalot, but he is really expensive, I would say. For what you can get, 5.2. I don't think you want to spend anything more than 5 for a United defender. But he is our most consistent defender. Seemed to have nailed his place. Not seem, he has nailed his place. Not to say a lot of attacking returns, though. One goal, 2 assists. So, I don't know.
If Maguire is fit, and obviously he's flagged, but if he's fit for Brentford, would you have Maguire, given that he costs next to nothing? On a wild card?
Obviously. I would rather have other defenders from other teams.
Name them.
I would rather have Malo Gusto at the same price point. I would rather have Bradley if Trent, you know, has a setback.
No, so Trent doesn't have a setback. So you're wild carding today, Sam. Put a gun to your head, you know. Name these 5 defenders you want ahead of Harry Maguire.
I didn't say 5.
I mean, you said I'd rather have other defenders, so, and you can have 5 defenders. I'm not letting you off here, mate. Like,
Jean-Paul Van Heck, who has very bad fixtures.
You don't want a Brighton defender. I like how you sorted by price, but no.
No, actually, I've been targeting him for very long because he's 4.1. I would rather have a Crystal Palace defender to prepare for 34. I would rather have Munoz, who has been really, really good. Very, very attacking, but he's slightly more expensive at 4.5, but I don't think that 0.3 matters that much. Munoz has been really, really good for those of you who have not heard his name yet. Very, very attacking for a wingback.
Scored in international break as well.
In the international break.
Off a Luis Diaz assist.
Yeah. Nail as well. Although you have to find a way to bench him in 32 and 33 because they play City and Liverpool those weeks. But then after 33, he got a double in 34, West Ham and Newcastle both at home. And then decent fixtures going forward.
I actually argue you don't need to find a way to bench him because he's attacking, right? Because he's that attacking. And he's... So you... And we've already agreed that nobody keeps clean sheets anyway. So you're just happy to have an attacking... And obviously, I mean, new coach now. You're thinking of old Palace and Hodgson. This is new Palace. Oliver Glasner's got all this... I mean, he's European, so therefore he must be attacking. That's the stereotype, right? I think you'd be happy to play him at home against Liverpool. You just go for it. You might get something lucky.
What about Jamal Lasalle?
Why are you saying Lasalle like as if he's from France or something? But he's
but 4.2 or maybe 4.1. I'm not sure. But,
Botman out for the season. Yeah.
Yeah, Botman out for the season, so he's nailed. He'll probably be nailed. That's the consensus among Newcastle fans.
Newcastle don't keep clean sheets, so I...
United.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so yeah, so Lascelles versus really Maguire, yeah.
Going forward, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
But okay, so let's construct this wildcard defense for people who are going to free hit in 34 and bench boost in 37. Or what have you, right? You got Munoz, you got Lascelles, I guess. Malo Gusto, I think, is an uncontroversial pick. Arsenal. We didn't speak about Arsenal. Best.
Oh, yeah. If you have a lot of money, I will go Ben White. He's the most expensive Arsenal defender, but also the best, honestly, in my opinion. My humble opinion.
Had a nice holiday over the
break. Yeah, I was just going to say. Had a nice break. Coming back refreshed and recharged.
Must be really angry at this point. Like, Southgate just keeps poking him and saying, you can come back when you want, mate. Even though you don't watch any games and you don't care about tactics and whatnot.
Yeah, Ben White, but really expensive. 5.7. So that's expensive, considering that Gabriel is only 5.3. Saliba is 5.8, even more. But I think for the returns you get, you might as well go Ben White.
Yeah.
I wouldn't double on Arsenal defense, though.
And the reason for that, Sam,
I am firmly behind Kai Havertz right now, Siva.
It's not just Kai Havertz though, to be fair. I mean, I love Kai Havertz too, and I think he's been excellent. Again, scored during international break. Like, he can't stop scoring. But even Gabriel Martinelli has started to finally pick up. He's returned, I think, in his last four games. And really good fixtures. I think he's second highest for XG per 90 over the last 10, something like that. Yeah, he's looking really decent. We've got good fixtures. We're going to beat City. Like, I'm pretty confident we're going to do it this time.
Okay.
And even once you, I mean, the thing is with Arsenal, if you look past the City game, it's really nice fixtures. Luton, Brighton, Villa, Wolves, and Chelsea. It's a very good double. Spurs, okay, that's tricky. Bournemouth, United, Everton. Like, these are good fixtures all the way to the end of the season. The only difficult game is the City game.
Yeah, and I think, like you said earlier, Arsenal are kind of at a point where every game, aside from City or Liverpool, would be considered an easy game to them because they're just so good right now.
The same goes for Liverpool, same goes for City. Like, those three teams cut above the rest. So you don't sit here and worry too much about fixtures.
Yeah.
But yeah, Havertz or Martinelli then? Because Saka.
Havertz. I will go Havertz right now.
Just feels sexier, doesn't it?
I think Havertz nailed his spot there.
Yeah.
Even if Gabriel Jesus comes back, is he even fit? I have no idea. But I think Havertz has just nailed his spot. He's doing what, you know, what Arteta wants. Like, he fits the system well now. Like, he understands it. And the returns have been there, so there's no reason to change. Martinelli, on the other hand, still a lot of early, you know, coming early off subs. Early subs. And at a double, you know, you wouldn't be that surprised if he was started one game and rested the other, right?
Yeah. What I like most about Havertz is like you said, Martinelli tends to come off early or sometimes gets rotated out. Havertz tends to play every week and he's playing 90s and he scores a lot of these garbage time goals, like he stat pairs in injury time and stuff when the game is basically done. So yeah, perfect, I think, just to have. And such a good differential, accessible price point, he's not too expensive.
You know. 7.2 is really cheap, cheaper than Martinelli.
Yeah. Okay, I like it.
I like it too. I will probably have Havertz in my double game week 3014.
Nice. I like that people are coming around to this. Is there anyone else? I mean, we've spoken about midfielders, defenders. I mean, the fact that you couldn't name five defenders suggests that that's how bad defenders are.
I mean, you have your Bournemouth defenders, right? Zavarni. Why not, right? Bournemouth has a good double in 34. Palace defender, Wolves defender, you know, if Dawson's back, might be good. Ait Nouri, maybe good as well by then.
Ait Nouri is excellent.
Yeah, so there are many options, I feel, over Maguire. And if you're getting him now purely because he's going to double in 37, I wouldn't go there because I don't expect many points from then until 37. Like, you might as well hold on. I mean, you get transfers. It's not like once you make a World Cup team, you're stuck with these players forever, you know? You have transfers every week, so you could bring in the 37 doubles, you know, for 1 week, 2 week pun, I guess, 37, 38, right at the end.
Because we were talking about people who are targeting 37 instead and free hitting 34, you didn't mention any City defenders.
Because I feel they're all a waste of money.
Yeah, they all suck. I mean, there's no...
You don't know who starts, number one. Any one of them could be benched at any time. They barely get any attacking returns. And they barely get clean sheets as well. So for the price you pay, there's no reason.
Yeah. Defense alone, it definitely seems like targeting 34 is easier than 37. But attacking, yeah, because the teams are double in 37. City, Brighton, United, Newcastle. I mean... Yeah, Trippier aside, there's no defender you really go in thinking, yeah, I really need... Oh, Chelsea, if they double, of course, Gusto. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, which is why I think I'll probably free hit in 37. Also because I feel there might be a lot of uncertainty by then. You know, City could have won the league by then and start rotating a lot. Then all your plans getting the best City attackers may not, you know, they might not even play in the double. So too much uncertainty, so I'm leaving my free hit for then. And we'll probably,
That's triple the plan. Captain 30. Triple cap 34 does sound really exciting if you still have it.
Yeah, whether it's Salah or Saka or Havertz or, you know, whoever it may be, I feel like there's more upside there in 34.
Yeah, I mean, there's a really good team that doubles in 34 that plays Burnley. Would you be interested?
Who plays Burnley in 34?
Sheffield United.
Name me one captainable player from Sheffield.
Name one ownable player. I would struggle with, but
there isn't, honestly, right?
Hamer, I guess Gustavo Hamer is probably the one that hipsters. Again, only you and I will even know who Gustavo Hamer is, but
yeah, I'd rather get like one of the Eze or Olise if he's back by then from Palace, or a Wolves player, Huang, Neto if he's back.
Sarabia.
Yeah, Sarabia. So,
Maestro no on pen.
Yeah.
Although I noticed a training video of Cunha coming back to training this week, and he did speak to like the keeper and say like, I'm going to start practicing my pens now. So that, I don't know if that's like he was saying that for the cameras or something, or... Because why practice pens if you're not going to take them? That's just my feeling.
If he's on pens, man, 100% in my team.
Ooh, okay. But anyway, I think we've covered everything, right? So to bring it back full circle, Salah, captain, easy, no doubt in your mind?
I have some doubt. I mean, Salah is great, but so is Sun at home against Luton, and so is Palmer at home against Burnley. I think Salah is the so-called safer pick, right? Because everyone who has Salah will get him. And, you know, most people are trying to get Salah in this week. But, you know, I think if you're really ballsy, you could go for a Palmer captaincy home against Burnley, or a Sun captaincy at home against Luton.
Okay.
Both has all three of these players are really high ceiling, so it's going to be really tough to call, you know, from three of them.
It's an interesting way your perception is that. My perception always feels like Salah is the ballsy pick this week and Palmer is the easy one. So it's interesting to see that we're coming at it from different angles, but we'll probably both end up Salah cap.
At the start of the pod, I felt so, but then I realized that a lot of people are trying to wildcard this week. So I think we don't have the numbers now, but by the end of the week, we will see Salah have a big jump in, you know, in terms of the number of teams he's in, the percentage. So yeah.
True. Interesting. Okay. So I guess that's pretty much us for this week, right?
Are you going to spend some time to talk about FPL Challenge?
Best game ever. You know, people ask for years and years for a second game. FPL finally gives it to them and they all immediately complain, but it's interesting. It's a week-to-week format for those who don't know. So sort of like you get a free hit every week, basically. Different rules apply each week. So every week has a different theme. I think this week is unlimited budget. Next week is double points for forwards, I think. So every week has a different special rule applying. You can have up to 5 from the same team. There are some hacks with the way the substitutions work. Like you can go follow other people for this. But basically, you can start with players who you know won't play and keep players who you know will play in the early games on your bench. And then you can make transfers out for those players who definitely aren't going to play later down the line. So it's sort of like Champions League in the sense that it has like live transfers, but only if those teams haven't played yet. It's confusing. I'm not going to pretend like I can explain very well.
I think let's not spend so much time talking about it. But, you know, we will probably post our team for this FPL Challenge thing on our Twitter and stuff. So
yeah, I think the one problem with the game is that it's not seasonal based. It's week to week completely. So you don't even have ranks for seasons, right? Which makes sense, I guess, because they're starting this late. But that means you're just looking at the top three teams each week get a prize. You know, everybody gets a stress ball or something, which is useful because you know, the big brain move here is to get a stress ball from this game, which will then help you cope with stress from actual FPL. But that's it. So you don't really have ranks. You don't really have ways to see, you know, whether you did better or even care. So you don't really track your ranks week to week. I guess maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's healthy. Yeah. It's sort of like Fantasy 5, I guess, but without the chance of actually winning anything that you care about.
All right.
I mean, this week seems pretty easy, right? You just load up on Chelsea players and maybe Fulham players. I think that's good enough. Yeah. We'll see how this goes. I mean, it's nice that they brought it in towards the end of the season. This is definitely the beta and a sort of we'll get a, you know, a better feel for it as we go ahead.
Yeah. All right, that's it from us this week.
Yeah, you'll see us probably in time for game week 32, since 31 is a midweek. I mean, 31 is pretty easy, right? You just get any single Liverpool player you can get right ahead of Sheffield United. But we'll see you for 32. In the meantime,
get your green arrows, guys, and we'll see you next week. Bye.